Here. Good to see you both here today. That's good. We don't have quite as big a crowd as we have been having the last few weeks, I guess, but you know, we can't despise small things. Right? So, good to see everybody. I got to say, this winter so far, we have had it pretty good for driving to church. Not too many times we've had snow to deal with or ice or anything like that. So we've been really blessed. We have a son that drives cross country from all the time, and I talked to him last night, and he said there's really not much snow all the way North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, on down. There really isn't much snow. So this is kind of a thing that goes for at least the upper Midwest has done really well. Well, we live in a world that are with information. You can, if you're into the fantasy world, you can watch TV and you can watch crime dramas and you can watch cartoons, and there's all kinds of things to watch. If you're into music, you can have music that you're listening to all the time. There, if you're into news, there's news all over. Thing that you want, you can occupy your mind 24 hours a day, all of the time, with other things. Some things, and this is the way life is, when it grows, when things get better, when technology improves, a set of things that you want. There's what's called the dark side on the web. There is demonic things that you could get involved in. And people go in there. There's pornography. There's religious cults that are out there. There's just so many things. And if you have a tendency to go in a really dark direction, you can really get into stuff that's going to destroy you. I know the mass killings. If you have on the news, somebody that, shot a whole bunch of people, what the police do when they capture them, the first thing they do is they get their cell phones and their iPads, and they look on, and they can pretty well detect what drove this person to do this heinous act. That's just the way the world we live in. We can be directed in a wrong direction so easily. And worse now, truly, I believe, worse now than ever before, that things, you can go in so many different directions, and so many bad directions if you want. You know, what a difference that is from the time of David. Think about David when he was just a boy out there with the sheep, taking care of a bunch of sheep. He looked at the sky at night, and he prayed to God, and, David talked to God a lot, and he had incidents where a lion came after a sheep, and in the end he killed that lion. That was a miracle. Of course, that might be small in regards to what he did with Goliath, right? But he built up this relationship. He meditated. He thought about things. I'm sure he thought about the creation, and he thought about himself, and we're going to see some of those verses today. That's the life David lived. That's the society, and really for most of the 6,000 years, mankind had more time to think about things. We are so busy in work, we're so busy in our lives, we just don't take the time as we should. For us, we just don't take the time to think about life, to think about the meaning of who we are and what God plans for us, the future. We don't ponder the things of God. It is what we need to do, and we need to build a relationship with God. That should be part of our life structure as well, a very important part. Our being, and as us who have been called by God, the connection with our Father and what we need to do, we need to be praying to God. We need that connection with God. We need to be reading His Word. And we also need to be meditating. We need time to think. The title of my message is The Importance of Meditation. The Importance of Meditation. All of us need, yes, we all, and I think we all really do studiously make sure we get our Bible studies in and we get our prayers in to God. But sometimes I would say the third thing, meditation, is probably one of those things that slip because we just don't have that much time. But we need to think about it and we need to do it, really. Pull away from this world. Get away. Think about really God and what this whole creation is all about. Let's turn to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, I'll read verses 11 and 12. You know, there's most of the world doesn't care at all about God. They think about their own little world and their own things, and there are things that totally can distract us. We have to mentally work to make sure we get our time in for God and time in for our own meditation as far as that goes. Psalm 94, starting in verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Man's thoughts are futile. They go in their own direction, but they're kind of meaningless in the big picture. Verse 12. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. The man that listens to God's laws and tries to follow the laws and wants God's word, that's rare. That's rare. But that's the people we need to be. We all need also, even as we've been called, we need to bring our thoughts into subjection. We're going to think wrong thoughts. There's not a one of us here that truly doesn't meditate and have wrong thoughts, because that happens. There's always things pulling our mind in another direction. That's part of life. But we need to struggle with it. We need to overcome it. So, probably David, more than anyone else in the Bible, talks about meditation. He does. I looked up the number of verses of meditation and meditate. I think there were like 20 different ones, and David was about half of them. So David talks about it quite a bit. So we will be going to Psalms quite a bit. As far as meditate and meditation, I looked in the concordance and I kind of tried to bring, there's about four different words, I just tried to bring the meaning of all of them together. It could mean to murmur or to have an attitude and a thought process of pleasure or a thought process of anger. Either way, it's just a thought process. To ponder, to imagine, to study, to contemplate, just thinking things. That's meditation. On the negative side, there is the complaining, the mourning. That's meditation. You can meditate in that way. There's the reflective side, to converse with yourself, quiet or aloud, talking, and it can mean even the prayer to God. You can meditate, you know, you're thinking about things, but you're in that process of praying to God. Sometimes that will happen. We all do that. So it is a little bit on the broad side, but meditation is a good thing. It's an important thing that we all should work toward. And I know this is 2.5 months before the days of unleavened bread, but it's at that time where you start looking at our lives. You start seeing where maybe we can make adjustments in our lives to make our lives better. And we should do that. This is a, you know, you could say there are laws. Our nation has laws. They're just laws. You can look at the Ten Commandments and you can say, well, they're physical laws. I just don't do this and I don't do that. And the laws of the land are all physical laws. You don't break these physical laws. Meditation is mental. It isn't. You may do nothing wrong, but your thoughts may be wrong. And God looks at those thoughts, and He cares about your thoughts. So we also need to keep our thoughts in line. You know, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. And I meditated on this verse, and I thought, you know, it's sad. It's sad when somebody has a mind that is thinking defiled, unbelieving. Their mind and conscience are defiled. Verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Sad ilk that they may look good. It says these profess to know God in many cases, and yet if their mind is bent in a wrong direction, how twisted, how upsetting this world may be, or maybe it's all taking care of others. I think about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, he was with the disciples for 3.5 years. When it got to Passover night, Jesus says, there's one among us that is really not. Disciples asked, oh, is it me? Is it me? They didn't really suspect it was Judas Iscariot. He actually did a pretty good job of covering himself up. And yet, it was found out about, and he went on his way. And of course, he's the one that really set the Roman troops to come in to take Jesus Christ away. And we know the end of his life. He killed himself. He killed himself. It's twisted mentalities. They pay the price in the end. The best way we can be is to be pure, to be having God's thoughts, having right thoughts and positive and clear thoughts, not to be conniving in your mind, not to be doing things that you maybe don't want the rest of the world to see. There's a lot of that, and it's so easy to do in this age that we live in our society, but we can't go in that direction. Herbert Armstrong used to say, there's two types of people, the givers and the getters. And we need to be givers. We need to be of that mentality to reaching out to others, not to being looking out for ourselves all the time. So we see that. Let's go to Psalm 139. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in the book of Psalm because David is a great one to give us information on the concept of meditation. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Okay. David had a great relationship with God. And he knew he wasn't very good many times. He knew he made mistakes, but he really tried. He really was sorry when he made his mistakes, and he really wanted to be in God's kingdom, and he wanted to overcome his mistakes. So in that mentality, in verse 23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He wanted to be in God's kingdom. He wanted to be with God forever, everlasting, as it says here. And he knew that he needed to change. We need to do the same. It really took nerve for him to ask God to help him to search out ourselves, out himself. We probably have things that are wrong, and maybe we don't want to change either, but we need to, and we need to work on it. And the days of unleavened bread, it is a time where we need to kind of look at ourselves and see what we can do with ourselves. So he asked about his sins. It is a prayer we should also make, that God would help us to see where we have mistakes, where we need to change. And this time of Days of Unleavened Bread is a great time to do that. I'm going to have 3 points here. Point number one is meditating on God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. It is the foundation of our lives. You know, I said doing right things, right attitudes, wrong attitudes. Well, foundation for us as Christians is God's Word. And His law is our law. And we need to be solid in that. Knowing it, living by it, to be solidly taking those laws as our laws and not twisting them. And we see David's attitude here. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, of course, is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it is totally about God's law and how wonderful it is. And you read, as you read these verses, you realize how much David loved God's law. And I wished I could say I loved it as much as David, you know, because he loved it. And we should strive to look at it, meditate on it, and to think about it as well. Verse 97 of Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. He thought about it. And not that he thought about it every minute of every day, but you know, it would pop up in his mind, and he would think about the law, and he reflected on it, and it was so neat to him to have God's law, and he knew if he followed those laws, he would be a better person because of it. You and I, same thing. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. We will be more rounded if we have God's laws to live by. We will be better people if we live by God's laws. As he says, you know, I have more understanding than my teachers. There were people that probably were more into astronomy and mathematics, and there were people brighter in different areas than David was, but he says, I have more understanding than my teachers because he had the foundation of God's Word, the knowledge of how to live his life and how to please God. That's the big thing. It was how to please God if you keep his commandments. 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Human laws, they're good. They're set in place by governments, and they're there for the society, for the betterment of the people. But the really best laws and the ones that are most important are God's laws. You know, as we meditate, we should take the commandments of God, or take the other. There's other laws. You can go to Leviticus and you can see those laws. Take time. Meditate on those laws. Why did God put them in motion? Why is it so great? Why are those 10 commandments so important? Think about the Sabbath is the one that most people don't think about. And so thinking about that, most people look at it and think, oh, 1 of 7 days. I'll pick out one. They don't think that the seventh day is a Sabbath day, but it was sanctified by God. Think on it. Take one of those other commandments. Think on them. Give yourself time to think about the importance of them. Just diving into it. And give yourself the time to pull away from the world and the distractions of the world. So, verse 148 of Psalm 119. Verse 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you were thinking about something relating to God? How many times as I'm putting together sermons and I'm looking up scriptures and I'm coming across something and I think, I just don't get it. I just don't. Maybe that's the best time of the whole night. You don't have kids coming in your bed or anything. Whatever it is, I love those moments when you wake up and God's Word is in your mind. And quite honestly, how many times I've thought, boy, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to write that down on my little notebook that I'm keeping trying. And how many times in the morning it's like, it's gone. I learned. I get up. I go in there and I write it down and I go back to bed. That's what I got to do because my brain won't hold on to it. As good of an idea as it is, my brain won't think about it. So there are other commandments, the physical side and the spiritual side. We won't turn to Matthew 5, verse 17, but a verse that many Christian world says does away, shows that there's being done away with the law, and yet it doesn't. It says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy," but mean that it's filled and done away with. That means I'm going to make it greater. And as you go through that scriptures afterwards, it says, you know, it's not only don't kill, it's don't hate. It's the expansion of it. So sometimes, you know what? Go on from the physical law to the spiritual. There's just a spiritual side to most all of the commandments as well. And that's a good thing to meditate on too. So we have all that. It is good. You know, as Moses brought the children of Israel up to the promised land, Moses died. Joshua took over. Moses and Levi, they received the commandments from God. They gave them to the people. And Joshua knew he was going to be the leader of the people as they crossed that Jordan River and went into the promised land. God wanted Israel to be successful. What did he tell them to do? Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Joshua chapter 1. Ready to go into the promised land. And God gives them instruction of how to be successful. John chapter 1, verse 7. "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God said, think of that law. Meditate on the law. And he said, day and night. That's the way Abraham, that's the way David did. And of course, he was king. And I'm sure he was a better ruler because he dwelt on all of those commandments. You and I, we're not kings, are we? We're nobodies. But someday we're going to be priests. And someday people will be coming up to us and they will want to know what they need to do, so that they can be part of God's kingdom as well and to grow in God's way. We need to understand it. We need to live by it. It needs to become our foundation if we're going to teach other people. And I hope we all have this zeal for God's law the way David did. If we can come across with zeal like David did, I think we're going to have an audience that's going to be happier with the God's law because of our attitude. You know what? I still got another scripture here. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 15. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12. 12 through 13 it is. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." God knows. He looks down and yes, he sees what we physically do, but he knows our thoughts. He knows the intent of our thought. We have a thought, you know, and sometimes it's spurred because we have a, I really want that. I'm kind of greedy for something. and yet in our thought you think, well, I just want that, but God knows that God knows more about our thinking than we know of our thinking. He knows what we want and what we need. God knows us inside out. He knows us better than we do. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God knows everything. We aren't going to hide anything from God. So we need to work on ourselves. We need to keep ourselves in line with God's way of life. And the foundation is His Word. Point number two, meditate on the positive. Eliminate the negative and don't mess with Mr. In-Between, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. I would say if I had only one scripture to do relating to meditation, this is the one I'd probably turn to. Philippians 4, verse 8. Very good verse. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. Meditate on those good things. Go back to verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving to God, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How good it would be if you could totally take these verses and put it into your life and it would be there solid and strong and you'd never go outside of the bounds, wouldn't it? But it doesn't happen that way. That's part of life. But I think about it, if you do it, if you can live by it, you're mentally, you're going to be happier. And if you can, as it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and just relax and realize you give it to God. God will take care of you. And it says the peace of God will be there. I mean, that's almost ideal. It's just where you would want to be. You would want to be able to think good thoughts. Anything goes wrong, you ask God and know that He's there for you and wanting to take care of you. As it turns out, we always have our little things we think we need to do and maybe do in the wrong direction. So we always have those little things to battle with. But it's a good foundation of the mentality that we need to be. I think about Mr. Knuckle, and I think there's a man, it's like, how many times I've come up to him, how cheery he has been, how he's always looks out at other people. If you call him, Daryl, how's your wife doing? You know, how are you doing? And he always wants to know about me. He's the one that, you know, is having health problems, but he always is looking out at other people. If you could have that attitude of looking out, of helping other people, and that's your foundation. That's how you look at life, is what can I do for others? What a great attitude that would be. Mr. Knuckle has been a pillar in the church and a great example as long as I've been in the church, and that was back in the mid-90s. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. The words of the pure are pleasant. We should try to have pure minds, not be thinking. We're all going to think in those negative places, but don't go being thinking pure thoughts. And God will be happy with us. And we will be more pleasant. We will be happier people as a result of it. We go to Psalm 104, verse 33 and 34. Psalm 104, 4. I will sing to the Lord As long as I live, David said, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. He says he was, you know, I hope God looks down when I'm meditating. He sees what I'm thinking about. He says, may my meditation be sweet to him. May I only think good things about God and about all that he's given to me, his laws, his life that he's given to me, the help that he's given to the Lord, he says. But he says here, he meditates, and his meditation should be sweet to God. And that's the way our meditation should be. 104. That was, now let's go to Psalm 77. We take another look at the meditation on the positive things. What can we be meditating on that would take us in a positive direction? Psalm 77, verses 11 through 12. David says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and all of your deeds. He meditated on, he didn't have the Bible that we have, but he had some of the Old Testament, the stuff that was written by David, and he knew of those stories, and he thought about those stories and the great works that God, miracles that he provided. We see, let's drop down to verse 14, you are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. And one of the wonders that we think about at this time of the year as we get head toward the days of unleavened bread is the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And as they marched away from Egypt, and then the Egyptians came after them, and they got cornered between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. We know the big miracle that happened. Verse 19 here. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. It is a story that is retold in the Bible over and over again. That mighty miracle. When we meditate on things, think about the stories in the Bible. Think about the things, the miracles that happened in the Bible. And then think about the miracles in your life. Think about the miracles that you've also had. We've all been blessed with miracles. We need to stop and meditate and think about the miracles we received. Or maybe the miracles that other people have told you about in their lives. God loves those because he's the one that performed them. And he wants us to be reflective on it. It shows that God has been working with us and with the others in throughout time. Psalm 139 and verses 2 to 6. Psalm 139. Looking at reading God's word in a positive attitude and meditating in a positive attitude. Psalm 139, verses 2 through 6. And David in this psalm, he is talking to God. And this is one of those psalms I think you could say he's talking to God, but he's also meditating. He's talking to God and he's meditating on himself, to God. So take it in that perspective. You know my sitting down and my rising up, David says to God. You understand my thought afar off. You're way up there and I'm down here in that little thought that I have. You got it. You understand it. I can't believe it. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You know the path I'm going to go down. And are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. God's protection was upon him. And you can go through the stories of David and how he was protected from Saul when Saul was out to kill him for so long. He had many stories of being protected by God. He says, "You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." You know, he says, verse 6 kind of says, wow, I can't even explain it. What you've done for me, I can't even explain. And I look at yourself. Look at yourself, where you came from, and then you were baptized, and how you've grown, and how God has worked with you with miracles and given you understanding and all the things, and you're going to say the same thing about yourself. Wow, God has really blessed me. I don't know how he could do such things. Just like David said, it's a little meditation and it's a little prayer together. And quite honestly, this is what we could do. I mean, I think all of us maybe can grow a little bit here, because you do Bible study and you do prayer, and once in a while you think and meditate. If you could wrap them together. How about taking some verses? Just taking some verses in the Bible that go together. And reading them. Really trying to get the whole depth. And if they're good verses, if they have some real deep meaning, then meditate on it. Think about it. And then pray to God about it. And said, help me to understand what I don't understand, or to really live and grow in these verses here. You can work Bible study and meditation and prayer together, I think. I think it would be a benefit if you could do that. You know, I was thinking this morning when I woke up, there again, wake up, but no, not through the night, it was when I woke up this morning, but I did think when I woke up this morning, I thought, you know, you could use this for some of the scriptures about Paul. Yes, some of those scriptures are tough. Some of those scriptures, the laws of God and these laws are done away with and things, and you run into that, if you're going to just read through it, you're just going to say, well, I'm done with those verses, I'll go on to the next ones. No, take the time. Sit down with a marker maybe, and as you get it together, or maybe use a concordance to be able to know what verses to hook up with other verses. You mark things in your Bible. You meditate on it. You think about, okay, this is the way it looked like to me, but I know it means this. Sit back, meditate on it, and then pray to God, you know, for that understanding that it'll really saturate in your mind. And take the time that it takes to go through it and work through it. Don't just think, oh, I only got 15 minutes. That's not enough. Give yourself time to be able to work through some of these things. Okay, point number 3, dealing with the negative. We all have things go wrong in our lives. Not that we do not believe God, but we know God is there, but we have things go wrong, and we get down on ourselves sometimes. David was that way. David had lots of trouble. We're going to take a look at one of his Psalms, Psalm 40. Where he had some problems, big problems. And there's so many times these Psalms do go in that direction of David looking at his time. "So that I am not able to look up. They are more than my hairs of my head." Well, I could say that too, but I don't have anything up there. Anyway, "but they are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me." He was really down. He says, I have a hard time. Looks are so down. You just keep looking down at the ground. It happens once in a while. And he was in that mood. So what kind of did he reflect on? Verse 5. We go back to verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." He thought of all those wonderful blessings, all the times that God has helped him. He thought of all the wonders, the wonderful works that were done. He thought about probably Moses and the children of Israel. He thought of those things, those positive things that we just went through. He thought of those. He thought of those other people and the things they went through. And he thought about how God has blessed him. He said, I can't recount them in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they were more than I could than can be numbered. You know, that self up. Giving yourself some positive thoughts, even though he was down. Verse 8, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. Another thing we just talked about. Hey, I have trouble, but I know God's law, and if I keep God's law, I'm looking for eternity in God's kingdom. And he knew that, and he walked in that faith. Verses 16 to 17. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. He was looking to God's salvation. He was looking to the kingdom of God. And he says, we all need to rejoice and be glad, even though we're running into trouble. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O God. He said, hey, I know, I'm nothing, I'm poor, I'm needy, but I know you're there. You are my help, you are my deliverer. You do it, you care for me. The next chapter, chapter 41, verses 12 through 13. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. He knew he was going to be in God's kingdom because he was obeying God's law and he was honest to God. Verse 13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. So there he looks at God's kingdom and wanting the desire to be with God forever, from everlasting to everlasting. You know, God has really blessed us. We need to take the time. We need to take the time to look at who we are, what God has done for us, the blessings he's given to us, the miracles that are in the Bible, the understanding that we have of God's Word that so many do not have an inkling of. That's a huge blessing. So many things. Meditate on those things that God has given to us. And as we're getting closer to the days of unleavened bread and Passover, we all need to take special time. We need to take time before Passover actually comes and meditate on Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Take the time to meditate on Jesus Christ's sacrifice. What he has given to us. What would the world be if Jesus Christ never died for our sins? No one would have eternity. That would not even be a hope. It just wouldn't be there. The knowledge of God's way of life that we have was given to us through the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have it except for Jesus Christ died, and he promised the Holy Spirit to come down to his people that were there. We have really been blessed. Jesus Christ is amazing sacrifice, and he has shown how much he loved us. Think of all those things. Take the time to think about what God and Jesus Christ have done for us. The amazing blessings they've given to us. Give yourself time to meditate on, first of all the blessings God has given to you. Think about, meditate on the knowledge that you've been given in God's way of life. Having thoughts that are pure and right, and when you see things that you're thinking that are wrong, get rid of them. Get your mind back where it needs to be. Knowing that God's love and kindness and his peace are there for us. What a wonderful God we have.